Okay, we are in about a six-week series on abiding in Christ, going through John 15, verses 1 through 11. The first 2 weeks, this is the third week. The first week, we saw that really a major theme of this passage is bearing fruit. In fact, as branches, because remember who's the vine dresser? The Father. The vine is Jesus, and the branches are us. And really, the branches exist in order to bear fruit, just as we exist in order to bear fruit as well. Could someone get me a drink of water? I've got a little tickle in my throat. And just, okay, you got me? Okay, great. Okay, so that's bearing fruit is our purpose. Okay, last week we talked about pruning. And you would think that maybe pruning is for those that don't bear fruit. But in reality, pruning is for those of us who are bearing fruit. And the reason for pruning is what? In order that we may bear more fruit. Okay. So today we're going to focus in on verse 4. Thank you, Tirsa. I think I got rid of that tickle, but I'll still take a drink of water. We're going to look at verse 4 where it says, "Abide in me and I in you." And so this week we're going to talk about where Jesus says, "Abide in me." And next week, we could talk about how he's abiding in us. I mean, really, I'd probably prefer to do this in one big message, but it would be a big message. So I've decided I'm breaking it down into two. So it may not be quite as long as the normal messages. But these next 2 weeks are very important for us to kind of understand and for us to begin to practice. In fact, the rest of John 15, this passage of abiding in him, we got to really understand what it really means to abide in him. So I encourage you to really get a hold of this. That may mean reading over this passage multiple times over the next several weeks. Study it, listen to the podcast or the YouTube video, pray. That's probably the most important thing we can do. God, I need to understand this. So much of the Christian life depends on this. Will you help me? So let's read the passage. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." Okay, so abide in me. That phrase is mentioned 3-4 times in this passage. And it's one of those phrases that we kind of know what it means, but we kind of don't know what it means. And a lot of times we don't really live it or practice it. There's a common phrase in the New Testament that's we see over and over. It's like in Christ. are in him. Let me give you a couple examples. In fact, we just kind of look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Notice all these spiritual blessings, they're ours if we are in him. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Take a look at verse 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. You know, the glory of his grace is available, but it's when we are in the beloved, in Jesus. Verse 13, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Notice in every one of those verses, this spiritual blessings, the glory of his grace, you know, the Holy Spirit, all that happens as we are in him, in Christ. Now, obviously, this phrase is somewhat figurative, but it's not so mystical that we don't know what he's talking about. And it has to be something that we can all understand and do. I mean, obviously, it takes a revelation of God, his Holy Spirit, to show us. But in Christ, we are placed in Christ as a result of the supernatural new birth, regeneration, because it's something that happens when we receive his gift of salvation, when we receive his gift of eternal life, when we surrender our lives to him, like we were singing this morning, something supernatural happens and we are placed in him. That's why we talk so much about it's important that we really know him. We're truly born again. We've received the new birth. Because when that happens, we are placed supernaturally in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. It says, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. See, because of what Jesus did at the cross, he's placed us in Christ Jesus. And it is in him that we become all that he wants us to be. That's why we have to kind of learn. I think there's a slide up there. It's when we're in him that we become all that he wants us to be. That's why we have to kind of learn to abide in him. And it's also in him that we can do all that he wants us to do. And again, that's why we need to abide in him. So to be everything he wants us to be and to do everything he wants us to do, to bear fruit, we have to learn to be in Christ. In Christ, we actually somewhat lose our identity, our independence. Not that we lose our unique personality that God's created us with, but our life becomes meshed with his, where it's interwoven. Illustrations always, you know, have limitations, but if I have a little book and I keep it in my pocket, and you could say cell phone, you could say keys, you could say your wallet, whatever it could be, wherever that person goes, that little book's going to go, as long as it's in his pocket, right? As long as it's in him, right? So if it's mealtime, he goes to mealtime, he goes to a restaurant, that little book's going to go too. Or to work, it's going to go. Or you decide to go skiing or biking. Or maybe you travel to Mexico. Or you travel to Japan or wherever. As long as that book is in your pocket, it goes where you go. And the same thing when we are in Christ, we go, we do. wherever he goes, whatever he does. Everything that Jesus is, which is a lot, our life is we are in him, abiding in him. We become rooted and established in him. Like, just think about, okay, some of the things that Jesus is. He is truth, right? No question about that. I think we got another slide up here. Yeah. Okay. He is truth. And if we are in him, that means we are what? We're rooted in truth. It's becoming who we are. And that's why when we abide in him, because he's truth, all of a sudden our perception of truth gains clarity. We see things, we recognize things that are false. Maybe the lies that Satan's, you know, passing our way. A lot of things. We just are established and rooted in truth as we are in him. He is holy, right? No question about that. And if we are abiding in him, we become holy. Our minds begin to kind of think in a holy way. Our hearts, we desire holiness. Now, it doesn't happen overnight, of course, but our life becomes meshed with him. Or about, most of us know that God is love. It says that in 1 John. I mean, unconditional, perfect love. By the way, in ourselves, do we have any love? Not really. I mean, not God's type of love for sure. But as we are in him and as we abide in him, his love, begins. We begin to understand it. We begin to see it. We begin to desire it. And it begins to flow into our lives. He is compassionate. That means that when we are in him, what? We begin to understand his compassion. We begin to see it. It's something we desire. Where before, maybe we don't even care about being compassionate. Now, again, all these things in ourselves are not possible. We're told that he is joy. In fact, here in John 15, he talks about, you know, my joy in you. You know, if we are becoming in him and abiding in him, what happens? His joy begins to overflow into us, you know, and it doesn't mean that all the circumstances are going to change, but there's a joy there. And the longer that we establish ourselves and root ourselves in him, the more his joy becomes ours. He's wisdom. Proverbs kind of talks about that, you know, do we need wisdom in this world? Sure we do. We don't understand a lot of things in this life. And the things that we understand, usually we kind of find out we don't that much. But when we are plugged into him, his wisdom becomes ours. Life, a Zoe life, is something we only get as we are in him, as we are rooted and established in him. And when we are in him, we start connecting to all these things. In fact, we start absorbing all those things. And the more that we abide in him and are established in him, the more and more these things become who we are. We are called to be in him. And supernaturally, God has placed us there. But sometimes we kind of distance ourselves from that. But his life, his joy, his wisdom, his holiness, his love, his truth, all that flows into us as we are abiding in him. Just like the life of the vine, what? Flows into all the branches, right? That's why Jesus uses this illustration. Because if we are plugged into the vine, his life begins to flow into us. Now we are supernaturally placed in him at our new birth. But somehow God still allows us to have a decision to make as far as whether or not we really kind of connected in there. You know, and we've got to see that we've had to remain attached to him. That's what it means to abide. We remain there. Another phrase that's very similar, kind of says the same thing in a different way. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Maybe verse 27 and 28. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is Christ in us. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we might present every man complete in Christ. I like that word complete. You know, it's he wants us to be complete, but it doesn't happen unless we are in him and he's in us. Look at verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Probably most people in this room, maybe not all of you, but most of you have received Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Now he says, walk in him. Again, by the way, that's that phrase again, in him. Verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. I like that. We're firmly rooted. We are being built up in him, rooted in him, and established in him. That's his goal. He's placed us in him. Now it's our responsibility to abide. That's a responsibility that we have. Verse 9 and 10. For in him, oh, there it is again, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. See, as we are in him, we become complete. In fact, it says all the fullness of God is in Jesus, is in the vine. And if we're plugged into the vine as branches, we start receiving from that. So you can see that being in him is essential. But it's not just being in him at rebirth, the new birth. We actually need to abide in him. You know, it's like, so, I mean, actually, I've heard people kind of talk about this. Yeah, I need to go to church. I need to go to house church tonight because I need to be kind of filled up again. I need to be, you know, I need to get a boost. And a lot of people think of Christianity and a walk with Jesus that way. It's like, you know, when you start running out of gas, what do? You go to the gas station and you fill up with gas again. And then it kind of goes, you know, you start getting empty again. And then you kind of plug back in, get more gas, right? A lot of people do their Christian life that way. But according to John 15, we're to stay connected. And if we stay connected, we're not going to get empty. You know, we're going to be able to kind of, we remain filled with him. In fact, we're told when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, not just filled, but it overflows to others. That is what God wants for us. So how does that happen practically? And this is where I said I'd prefer to have done both of these two together next week and this week. But let's go ahead and say this. Let's go ahead and introduce what we want to talk about next week a little bit. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. By the way, who is the Word? If you read on down, it's obvious. It's Jesus, of course, right? And sometimes we don't think of him as the Word of God, but he is. Actually, let's take a look at the very end of Revelation, chapter 19, almost the end. Chapter 19, and let's start maybe verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. talking about Jesus here. His eyes are a flame of fire. We saw that in chapter 1 of Revelation. And on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, obviously Jesus. And his name is called, what does it say? The Word of God. So Jesus is the Word. He's the living Word of God. In other words, you know, we can, I mean, paper and letters and print on a piece of paper, it's more than that. He's the living Word of God. Because, you know, we all know, you can kind of read through the Bible and yeah. And then you think, what did I just read? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's one way. Or God's Word becomes alive and you read it and you say, oh, wow, God's speaking to me. He's doing something inside of me. That's the living Word of God. And as we study, as we dig into His Word, not just academically, but with a heart hungry to receive from Him, we see Jesus. Even in the Old Testament, we see Jesus. In fact, we don't just see Jesus, but we encounter Jesus. We encounter truth. We encounter love, His love. We encounter His joy, His holiness, His power. All those things we talked about before. But it's got to be more than just academic study. We must prayerfully ask, Lord, let your word be absorbed into my life and let me be absorbed into your life. It's something that happens supernaturally. This is what it means to abide in Christ. Yes, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight, but it's something we can't just say, well, I don't understand it. It's not there. So I'll really start pressing into it later, maybe next month or next year. No, now's the time to do it. Two other verses real quick, and then we're going to close here. Philippians 3, verse 9, the first part of it, and maybe actually the last part of verse 8, it says, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him. May that be our prayer, that we might be found in Him. If someone's looking for Mike, oh, he's in Christ. If someone's looking for Monse, oh, she's in Christ. If someone's looking for Eduardo, he can be found in Christ because his life is so absorbed in Jesus. That is what God is wanting us to do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Kind of the same type of thing. It says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I like that phrase too. Your life is hidden with Christ. Where's Mike? Where's Oscar? Where's Claudia? Oh, I can tell you where they are. They're in Him. They're in Christ. You know, hidden with Christ. They can be found in Christ. That is God's desire. And may that be something that God, that can be spoken of all of us, really. Okay. So, just in conclusion here, this is something that we can't just, it's not just a matter of academically receiving it up here. Abiding in Him is a step beyond that. And that's why it doesn't do us any good just to listen to where we can, oh yeah, that's right, I can tell you about abiding in Christ. No, it's something that God wants us to press into. That we start abiding in Him. And then next week we can say, and He in us. And so there's this meshing that's going on. That does not happen unless we kind of say, God, can you do this inside of me? Does that make sense? It's not going to happen just hearing a series on abiding in Christ. So I want us to do something a little bit different right now. I want us to take a few minutes. We can sit. We can kneel. Maybe you shouldn't kneel, Judy, with your knee, you know. But and let's just take a few minutes and just silently ask the Lord to teach us, to reveal this to us, what it means to abide in Him. But even more, not just what we understand intellectually, but let's start asking Him, Lord, I want this type of life. Because as we're going to see in the weeks to follow, once we abide in Him, that's when we realize what it means to abide in His love. That's what it means to kind of have a prayer life that's effective. That's where we begin to start living and walking in His joy. That's where we start bearing fruit. All these things we really want and we need in our lives, we can't do it by ourselves. It's only by abiding in Him. So let's just take a few minutes. And I'll close this in just a couple minutes, but just pour out your heart to the Lord. Ask Him, Lord, do this inside of me. I want it to be beyond just knowing about it. I want to be established and rooted in You. Lord, we ask that You would hear our prayers this morning. Lord, we can see so clearly in this passage the necessity for us to learn to abide in You. In fact, Lord, that's the only way we're going to bear fruit. And that's our whole existence is about bearing fruit. That's what a vine, what a branch does. Lord, we need You to really work this inside of us. We cannot do anything in ourselves. We can't even abide in You. So, Lord, show us what it means. Show us how we can begin to walk in You, how we can be established and rooted in You, how we can begin to abide in You and letting You also come and abide in us. Lord, open our eyes to these things. Do a work inside of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.